What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
Everybody's struggling with something. Once you start to look at and identify what the patterns are, then we can start to change some of those patterns and create some new ones.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. And I am so excited. We are at the start of season 9, and we are discussing all things wellness. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. As you guys know, we do not have interviews. We have genuine conversations. So let's get to it. Today, we have Dr. Tiffany Stewart. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for our conversation today. So we always start off with an icebreaker. Are you ready for your icebreaker?
Oh, I think so.
It's going to be simple. Something that you've done in the past. So I'm excited to hear your answer. So if you could create a wellness retreat tailored just for busy professionals, what three elements would you absolutely include?
Oh my gosh, I love that. So it's always going to be things that I enjoy, things that I get benefit from, and things that I think are simple, but a lot of people don't take the time to do it. So it's always going to include some component of movement or exercise. So the last one that I had, we did yoga. I'm a Pilates girl now, so I might incorporate that. It will also be something dealing with personal wellness and growth. So we will always incorporate something that you are looking forward to or a goal that you want to accomplish and how you want to accomplish it. And then also creating a sense of community for us to just be able to get together and feel like you are not alone in this thing.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that more because I actually been to one of your retreats.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it a little later. And so we usually start off with every interview, every conversation is who is the guest. So for you, who is Dr. Tiffany Stewart?
Another question that I love. I am so, like most people, complex, right? And I'm layered. And so professionally, I am a tenured professor of counseling. I am a licensed therapist. So I teach at the university level. I also have a private practice. But then I'm also like just a girl who is out here living and trying to make the best of life and trying to just really live my life and not just be in it, you know, like I actually want to experience life in the best way possible. I am a friend. I am a mother. I am all of the things. So I hope that answered.
No, you did really good. Because one of the things that you mentioned, and I've been hearing this a lot lately, is that I want to be a character in my own book. And so I want to talk about that with you and how from just being a girl to living life and just being me and showing up, how did you get into the wellness industry? Was it something that personally happened with you and you decided to go into therapy and was like, I can help other people? Or just tell us a little bit about that story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there were a number of things that happened, but I think the main thing that happened for me, I was in school getting my PhD. I was a single mother. My daughter was 5 at the time when we went into the program. And we were from New Orleans. And so 2 weeks before we went into the program in Ohio, we moved 2 weeks before Hurricane Katrina hit. And so I had property in New Orleans, like 5 units. And I just remember it just kind of seemed like the world came to an end for me. And I consider myself a Christian. I am a Christian, but it really was one of the hardest periods of my life. And for me, I was praying, but it still wasn't taking the anxiety away. It wasn't taking all of the uncertainty away. And I had to figure out different avenues of how to get through this and be okay, not only for me, but for my daughter. How am I going to get through this program? One of the first things that one of my professors said to me was that it's okay if you need to drop out of the program. So there were no tools and no resources that were offered to me of how can we support you to get through this. It was just basically, you can quit this. Right. So that was the first thing of how do I feed back into myself so that I am able to be okay and calm my central nervous system down essentially. And so that's when I started meditating, and it just did a world of good for me. It was so different. And although it was hard to teach myself how to do it, I realized that it was such a centering and grounding approach that it just left me wanting more and more of it. So then fast forward, I get out of the program. I go into academia as a professor. And I'm not sure if you know anything about academia, but in academia across the country, it's 1% of Black women who are tenured professors in the country. So it's kind of hard to get through that thing. All right. And so then again, it was me being faced with how do I get through this and really come out like a rock star out of this, because, you know, it was difficult. And there were not many people who I can say were looking back and saying, let me grab your hand and bring you along, you know, to kind of do this. And so, again, I felt like I needed to figure it out and do what was good for me. So, and seeing all of that, and then at the same time, going into practice for therapy, I'm looking at individuals, counseling, and even though I am a therapist, I'm a human being also. So I am only going to talk about the things that I feel are important, the things that I think work, and the things that I am willing to do also. I'm not a textbook kind of person that I'm only going to tell you what the textbook says. You know, I'm going to also speak to my lived experiences and what actually works for me. And so being in the therapy room with clients, I see how fragile everyone's mental and emotional health is. And me recalling when I was in those positions, when it could have went either way, right? It's like you get to a fork in the road. And it's like, which way am I going to go? You know, am I going to fall off the cliff, or am I going to climb the mountain? Right. And so I just felt like it was my goal to, or not even my goal, almost like an obligation to help others to learn ways that they can also succeed and come through some of the trying times that you are going to go through. Like, nobody is saved from this, right? It's just a natural ebb and flow of life. So that's kind of how I got into wellness. So I guess I took the long way around that.
No, because I come from a self-taught background myself. I went to school for accounting, I went to school for finance, and now I'm in media. I mean, that's total two different sides of the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask you, because like you mentioned, you definitely went to school for it, but when it comes to meditation, you kind of just jumped in and was like, okay, let me try this. I hear there's great benefits from it. Mm-hmm. Let me kind of see what this practice looks like. Mm-hmm. What did that look like for you to even tap into? Because of course you get the textbook side of it, mm-hmm. but now you're actually diving into it to get your own experience. At the end of the day, you're trying to heal yourself. What did that side look like for you as the self-taught, not textbook like you mentioned, but the life experiences of things that you were going through and tap into different practices?
Yeah, it was different because in my training, we're not taught meditation. Right. We are taught just the Western philosophy of counseling, diagnosis, medication, you know, empowering through.
Right. But at this point, you're talking holistically.
Right. And spiritually. Mm-hmm. Like I need to mm-hmm. it spiritually. Right. So it looked like me really just sitting down, setting a timer for a minute and silence, which is very uncomfortable. It's extremely uncomfortable. And then I moved up to 5 minutes and just focused on breathing. And so your mind is naturally going to veer off to all of the things that you got to do and what are you missing and, oh, this is too hard to do, but constantly redirecting yourself back. And then I was able to work up to a little more, 15 minutes, 20 minutes max is what I was able to do. But even that small amount of time has huge benefits for you. So with some of the techniques that we are taught in my training, breathing is something that helps to calm you down. So that piece was a connection that I had with the meditation. So that's just what it looked like. And everything that I do is going to be baby steps. So because if I look at something and it looks too large, like most people, I'm not going to do it, you know? And even though I am a little different from a lot of people, I will try almost anything, you know, except for like, you know, crack and stuff. Yeah, I know. Yeah, no. But if it's something positive, if it's something fun, if it's something that I've never tried before and it has some type of benefit for me, I'm open to trying it. And if I like it, I'm going to do more of it. If I don't like it, then it didn't work for me. But I'm not a person who is afraid of trying something new. So it was just about me trying it. And when I tried it, I liked it because what it did for me was when the world, it just kept going around the world, you know, and that's really how your central nervous system feels. The meditation grounded me. So the world was still moving, but I was still on the inside. And when it combined for me with the prayer, to me is talking to God, but the meditation, you can really hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's being said to you, what your next step should be, you can really clear on that. And so, you know, it becomes like something addictive, you know, like you like, oh, life doesn't have to be as hard, you know, it's going to be hard, but you can ride the wave instead of going against the wave. So I've learned how to ride the wave and just take on practices that are going to help me stay on the wave instead of going underneath and drowning.
I love that. So I've been doing a lot of journaling and trying to get my mind set together. And one devotion I was reading literally this morning, was it last night? One of them, but it's about distractions. And it said distractions are destruction. And so with you discussing meditation and just really being centered with yourself and quietness, I want to know when it comes to actually participating, did you feel immediate gratification? Like, I'm so glad I was able to sit with myself, or did it take some time? Because I know when I did my meditation, like you said, I did mine in baby steps. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of grew from there, but I instantly felt like, okay, even I just did my 1 minute, I can give it another 2 minutes, even in that same session. So from your experience, what was your thoughts?
It's immediate. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which is why I wanted more. Right. That's, mm-hmm. And that's why I say, like, it became like an addiction. I wanted more. I wanted more of it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like the thing when you get used to peace, you know, when you get used to things just kind of not being difficult and you're coasting, you're going to want more of it. If you're used to living in chaos, I guess that's what you're going to want more of, right? So whatever it is that you focus on, whatever it is that you're doing, it's going to get bigger. You're going to want more and more of it, whether you believe it or not. And so, yeah, I just wanted more of it.
I love it. Okay, so now this is a personal question for me. Because a lot of times we love these things and we see the healing behind it. We see the benefits behind it. For an example, meditation, journaling, praying more, and just really giving ourselves to that healing portion to make us better people. But sometimes we fall off.
Yeah.
Even though we love doing it and we see the benefits, but sometimes we just fall off. And it could be for any reason. It could be a distraction. It could be we're too busy with life. It could be all different things. How do we get ourselves back to making sure that we're good at the end of the day and participating in these wellness practices?
Well, it's an intentional thing, right? You have to be intentional about you, first of all. You have to be intentional about putting you on your calendar. You know, so like at this age, if I don't put something on my calendar, it's not going to happen.
Indeed.
Okay. So I schedule my workouts. I schedule all the things that I need to feed back into myself. So naturally, you're going to drop off. I'm not saying that, you know, that like that's abnormal. It's normal that people are going to drop off, but this has become my life now. All right. So because it's my life, I feel out of balance when it's not happening. If I don't get a workout in, if I'm not eating right, if I'm not resting well, if I'm not doing my meditation practices, you will notice because I'm going to be like the Tasmanian devil.
Out of control.
Out of control. I'm going to be cussing every you know, like
indeed.
I'm going to be in a bad mood. I'm going to be doing all of the things. But because I do it so much now, and it really is a part of my life, I really do try to live all of the things that I preach to people. And when it's missing, there is a noticeable change.
Mm-hmm. That is so good. Because I checking in with myself, that's what happened with me. I kind of did like a outer body experience. I was like, homegirl, who is this that's showing up? Because that's not you. So that's really good that you said that, because a lot of times we just go as robots. We just do our day to day and we don't check in with ourselves. And I think that's what happened with me, is that I checked in with myself and was like, yeah, we got to get back to creating those habits. Because my word this year, and it's so funny you said that, is being intentional.
Yeah.
I am every part of my life, relationships, friends, family, business, even with the podcast, I just want to be very intentional how I move. So
absolutely.
Put that in my back pocket, because
definitely wake up in the morning, like if I'm feeling off, and the question that I ask is like, what do you need to do today, girl? What you want to do today? Because, you know, like if I'm not feeling good, like I need some like a shot of dopamine or something. Like, what do I need? Or what do I need?
Yeah.
Whatever comes to mind.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going
to
do it.
And giving ourselves permission to do it. I think that's important. Yeah.
And giving ourselves permission. I think so many people, they went on other people to give them permission. Like, is this okay? What do you think? Should I do what? You know, and I don't even care. You know, like it's so bad. It's bad, but it's good. And I'll explain that. It's bad because of how it looks on the outside to other people, because I play no games with it. Like, I'm serious about it. And so I don't care what it looks like to other people. If I feel like I need a day of silence with nobody, I'm not checking in with anybody. I'm not putting any disclaimers out. You're just not going to hear from me because I'm doing what I need to do to fill back into me, you know, to pour back into me. So I'll see you when I see you. And I'll let people know ahead of time. But, you know, like I have some people in my life and they kind of get offended by it. But that's not my issue, right? Because it's not done to be offensive to anyone. I have to take care of me, because if I don't take care of me, nobody else is coming to save me. No one else is going to feed back into me. No one else is going to do all of the things that I need to do. And in fact, it's unfair for you to expect somebody else to make them your savior, to come and get you off of, you know, the cliff that you're sitting on. So I am very clear, and I know that I need to do all of the things for myself, because when I am feeling into myself, feeling filling myself up. You know, I'm from New Orleans, so we don't always pronounce our words, but I have to pour back into myself. So for me, it's a good thing because I know how to do that. It's like a well-oiled machine for me right now. But to other people on the outside looking in, they don't understand it. But it's mostly people who don't do it for themselves. So it looks foreign to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was so good. Okay. So I want to transition because I know I kind of talked about me a little bit, but I want to transition into what it looks like for your clients. What is one thing that you see is a common denominator within all of your clients? Like if it's anxiety, if there's barriers that they're trying to get through, or is it a situation to where they're kind of lost in life? What are some common things that you see, and then also provide some tools for that common thing that you see?
The common thing that I'm going to say is everybody is dealing with something. Despite what it is, you know, I see an array of different things in the counseling sessions, from people struggling with divorce, eating disorders, depression, anxiety is always a big one. But no matter what, everybody's struggling with something. I think one of the most important things when you're struggling with something, no matter what it is, the thing that I always try to highlight is what are the patterns, because patterns come from somewhere. So if we can identify where the patterns start and where the messages started and how you have kind of run it through your own lens and how it manifests over here. And that could be in relationships, that can be in uncertainty, that could be in anxiousness, that could be in depression, all of the things. Once you start to look at and identify what the patterns are and where they came from, when they start to show up, then you are able to say, oh, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. It's not happening right now. And then we can start to kind of change some of those patterns and create some new ones.
So what question would we ask ourselves in that type of self-reflection? Because like I mentioned earlier, a lot of times we just go on about life like nothing is wrong. Mm-hmm. But when we have conversations with you and you say, hey, let's figure out where the beginning of this issue came from. Because they're practically oblivious to, ain't nothing wrong with me. I just know it's not right with me. So what type of questions should we be asking ourselves when we do those self-reflection moments?
So I think one of the biggest things is I like to ask about families and where you grew up, right? In the household, how was conflict kind of handled? And in the home, what did it look like? What were attachments? You know, attachments are very huge. Attachments show up in friendships. They show up in romantic relationships. They show up just in how you work in the workplace, right? So attachments are very huge. But how does that look and where did it start? Did you have two parents in the home? Was one who was avoided? Was one who had a secure attachment? Just, were you getting yelled at a lot? Was there a lot of chaos in the home? Like, what were some of the things that you were seeing? Were you told that or highly criticized? Were you told that you are beautiful, that you can do whatever it is that you want to do in life? Like, just what were some of those messages that were said either indirectly or directly to you? And how do they show up right now? Because it runs like we have the tabs on the computer. We have, like, I got about, I don't know, 16 up right now, right? Mm-hmm. But we have these tabs running in our head. So they may not necessarily be at the forefront for us, but they are definitely unconsciously open. So everything that we do, we are looking at it through the lens of all of that stuff that's running in the background for us. Uh-huh. And if you can identify, you go back and you click on that tab that you thought was closed, but it's really not closed. It's still open.
Absolutely.
then that's when you can start to identify some of those things to be able to change them. But so often people are either unwilling or unaware that this is something that's going on to be able to take a look at it and change it.
That is so good. So with that being stated, how do you feel about healing being an ongoing thing, a lifestyle, versus just me and my sessions with you? I'm just going to do what I need to do for this moment, but as soon as I leave here, I'm going back to the old Brianna. So how do you feel about healing being more of a lifestyle? Because nothing changes overnight, but just continuing to do the work.
It's not a destination. It's a journey. And you never quite get there. You never quite get there. And so I tell all of my clients, you can come and sit up in here every day with me if you like, and we can hang out and we can talk and I can tell you all the things, but nothing is going to change until you leave this office. Mm-hmm. And when you leave the office, you start to implement the things that we have discussed and you start to change some of the patterns, some of the behaviors, some of the things that you have been doing. That's when you are going to start to see the change. And it's little by little. You didn't just arrive at this person that you are. And so it's unrealistic to think that you are going to arrive at the person who you want to be, you know, and become. And just because I want to be this person today don't mean I'm going to want to be this person tomorrow, you know. So it's constantly evolving and changing, and that's okay. But you have to know that, like, you never, like, I like to work out, right? And I've been working out since I'm about 19. And at first I was working out because I wanted to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I worked out and the weight fell off because, of course, I'm young at that point. And so then I stopped. And I was like, okay, girl, you got it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I stopped. And then that weight came back on. And I was like, what? What?
Where'd this come from?
Because I thought I got rid of you. And she like, no, girl, we still here. So then I realized, and it clicked in my mind very early on, this is something I'm going to have to do for the rest of my life. Once I got through that realization, I'm like, okay, well, now it's a lifestyle for me. And as long as my body allows me to, I'm going to move and I'm going to exercise and I see the benefits of it. But it's the same thing for my wellness, you know, the mental, the emotional health, and the same thing that I would suggest for everybody else. It's an ongoing thing. It never ends.
Really good. And one point I want to mention, because you mentioned change, you mentioned evolve. And with you being in the wellness community for 2 decades at this point, right? Yeah. Even like you mentioned at 19, you kind of checked in with yourself like, homegirl, we want to be sexy the rest of our lives. So how have you seen the trajectory from when you first got into the industry to where it is now when it comes to having these discussions about mental awareness, wellness, all the things to make us better people?
So obviously from a mental health perspective, the conversation has changed drastically. It used to be something like you would go behind the curtain and, you know, you're like, I went to counseling, you know.
Yes. Especially in the Black community, that was like, girl, or
well, are you in school?
You better start praying.
Right. And so now we are having open conversations about it. And it's a thing of, it's almost like the it thing, right, to do, to go to counseling. So I have definitely seen that change. For sure with that. As far as the wellness part, because I feel like it's holistic, right? So when you talk about the wellness, it's not just from a mental perspective, it's an emotional perspective, and it's also the health. So at one time, and I may be getting a little off track of your question.
No, you're good. This is good.
But at one time when I was exercising to get the weight off at 19, 20 years old, yeah, it was because I want to be sexy, you know, and I want to be small and I want to fit in a cute dress and all of that. That has shifted for me now because that's just the cherry on top for it now. Now I understand that there were so many more benefits that come with it. So it's really for my health now, because when I am working out, it helps to release our endorphins. So that's our body's natural happy chemicals, right? So it helps that. It helps heart, our heart, because heart disease, number one disease, particularly in the Black community for women, right? Mm-hmm. So all of the things, cholesterol, diabetes, all of those things is what I'm looking at now, because I'm a woman of a particular age. I just made 50.
And come on, beautiful, 50.
Yes, ma'am. And so now it's very different. I look at it from a holistic point of view. So I need to now make sure that I'm here for the long haul, for however long I am here for. But I want to be able to walk up a flight of stairs. If I fall, be able to catch myself, not break a hip, and just be able to be vibrant, you know, enjoying life and not just worrying about putting on the cute dress anymore. So it's definitely shifted and taken on a different look for me now.
Indeed. Okay. So we're going to go to our next segment, and it's highs and lows. So if you can share with us, and you can do it both at the same time if you want to, just share something with us as far as something that kind of questioned you. Should I be on this path? Is it wellness, family, anything of that nature, business, whatever the case may be? Like, should I be working on this or should I be doing something else? Anything of that nature. And how did you get through that to get to where you are today?
So I can say this is something that is ongoing. Again, it's ongoing. I don't think that it's ever going to be where you're going to get to a place where you're like, this is it. This is it. You know, it's when I'm doing even the things that I love to do, like the retreat where you and I met, it's like, okay, it's just the right track that I'm on. Is everybody getting, you know, picking up what I'm putting down here? You know what I'm saying? It's like, am I on the right track? Am I doing the right things? And I think that may stop so many people from doing anything, because you always get caught up in, is it the right thing? And my thing is, it's the right thing at the right time when I'm doing it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if I need to shift because I feel like something is off, something is not working, then I give myself the permission to shift. But that's not going to stop me from doing the thing that I feel that is right in the moment. All right. So if that answers your question at all.
Well, I want to let you know, as far as the retreat. Well, first off, let me tell the folks what was going on in that retreat, okay? It was in Urban, Texas. It was locally. And we did, what is it called? The bowl sound?
Sound bath.
We did some healing there. We did some visual journaling. So instead of us writing it down, because you had gave us a journal, like a big thing of journals. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we was just pasting and putting things together. We had a little sister circle moment. We shared our thoughts. We were able to create community. And it was, for me, like, if you were to do it again, I would bring my mom. I feel like you had a situation from like generational people to pour into each other. It wasn't just young. It wasn't just wisdom. It was everything in between, and everybody legit supported each other. And then after, baby, we partied.
Yeah.
We did the healing. We had the good time. And then we were able to do some cheers. We were able to have some dance moves going on. So like you mentioned earlier with the physical activity, it was a holistic everything when it came to wellness. So I hate that I missed the last one, but that first one, if this last one was better, I missed the treat.
You're master trained. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And in putting those together, it's much like my personality, like when we started off and I say that I am a complex person. I am a layered person, right? So I'm not just this one person who feels like, oh, we just got to do just the hard work. No, I'm a fun girl. Right. I like to have fun. And I think that there is a place for that. And I think that it's needed. I think that the community is needed. So all of those elements I try to put into the retreats. So I'm happy that you enjoyed it.
It was a good time. Really good time. Okay. So our next segment is one free advice. I feel like a lot of times we pay people thousands of dollars for us to be coached by them. We go to seminars, thousands of dollars to get a lesson or two from them. And sometimes it goes over our head. So what is one free advice? It could be a sentence. It could be a word for someone to receive while they're listening for them to take action today.
Oh, okay. That one kind of caught me off guard.
You see why I don't send the questions?
Right. I think to give yourself permission to do what you need to do for you. It's not wrong to feed back into yourself. It's not wrong for you to be able to take a moment for yourself to find something that you are going to like. And I look at this like it comes second nature to me. And so sometimes I used to wonder, why are people not getting this? But because it doesn't come second nature to a lot of people. But just to really give yourself permission to do whatever it is. So sometimes that may look like when I was a young single mom, to close the bathroom door and be able to run myself a bubble bath. And, you know, while my daughter was knocking at the door because she wants to sit on the toilet, while I'm in the tub because she just wants to be next to me. And her feelings used to get hurt from it, you know, but I had to have a conversation with her at some point. She didn't understand it until she got older.
Now she wants her privacy.
Listen, she's like, I'm having a self-care day today. I'm taking myself on a date. I'm getting myself flowers. She's 25. So all of the things that looked weird to her then, this is just something that has become a part of her life now. So it is about giving yourself permission to do it. Like I know people in my life over 50 years old, and they still don't give themselves permission to go into their own bathroom and lock the door and give themselves, you know, the permission just to not have people around. So to do whatever it is that is going to fill back into you, no matter how minute it may be, you know, because I understand that people can't just jump out of the box and do the things that I do, because I feel like sometimes I'm a little extreme with how I feed back into me. But, you know, just baby steps, little small things that you can do for you.
Love it. Love it. You have been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I have enjoyed this.
Okay. So before we wrap up, go ahead and tell the people how they can get in contact with you, if that's social media, website, etc.
Yeah. So my website is www.tiffanystewartphd.com. I am on Instagram at Dr. Tiff PhD and the same handle on TikTok, Dr. Tiffany PhD. Dr. Tiff.
It's going to be in, either way, it's going to be in the show notes so you guys can connect, chat. And if there's a retreat coming up, she will put it on social and her webpage.
Yes,
and
all I'm going to decide by next month. I said that if I had not decided by next month, it's usually towards the end of the year, like November. So if I haven't decided by next month, it's probably not going to happen. But by July, I will decide.
All right. So that's why you got to tap in. Definitely make sure y'all follow so you can know what's upcoming from Dr. Tiff. So one last thing. We always leave with a motivational moment. So it could be a quote. It could be a verse in the Bible. It could be anything that just really resonated with me. I bring it on the podcast. I share my thoughts. You share your thoughts. And it's a wrap. So are you ready for it?
Are you going to go first?
I'm going to share what the quote is. Okay. It's a quote. And then I'll share my thoughts. You share your thoughts. And then it's a wrap.
Okay. Okay. Let's.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So this one is a quote. True wellness isn't just about feeling better. It's about becoming whole again. And that is, it says it's a philosophy by you.
Nuh-uh, is it?
Inspired by Dr. Tiffany's philosophy. But I mean, that's what you've been saying today.
Girl, she is good.
I'm going to have to send this to you so you can post it.
That is so perfect.
Inspired by Dr. Tiffany's philosophy. I mean, you have been saying this. It's not a destination.
It's not a destination. It really is about becoming whole. And let me be clear. This doesn't mean that you are perfect, right? Because I am still very much so flawed because I'm human. And I love that about me too, that I'm human, you know, like, don't come at me the wrong way, girl, because.
Okay. That New Orleans gonna come out.
Okay. But so let me be in my zen. Let me be in my zen. But honestly, I do really believe that. And I do try to be the best version of myself. And it's ongoing work that I actively do on a daily basis.
I love that. And the only thing I just want to add to that is, like we've been saying, is just being very intentional with yourself. If you feel like something's off, if you feel like you're not the same person, if you feel like, oh, who is this person when you look in the mirror, it's definitely time to check in and make those pivots and those changes to be the most comfortable person that you are for yourself. So, I mean, that is it. I enjoyed this time with you, Dr. Tim. I'm so excited for us to link up again. If it may be the retreat, so I'm gonna keep throwing that out there. If it's the retreat or if it's a brunch, whatever it may be. Cause soon as I got wellness, cause I allow the people to choose. And when everybody chose wellness, I had to reach out to you. Because for one, I had that personal experience with you and I watched all of your content and you are fully on all things wellness. So thank you so much for accepting my invitation on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out. I was like, absolutely, let's do it. So
you did. You responded fast. She was like, send the link, give me the information. What's going on?
So I appreciate you for finding value in it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for listening. If you're listening morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much. And we will see you guys on the next episode. Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.